and welcome to Alzheimer's Speaks Radio. I'm your host, Lori LeBay, and I'm so excited that you're joining us today. We are going to have a fascinating conversation, as usual, as we learn from people all around the world at all ages and stages of life. Stay tuned as we shift our dementia care from crisis to comfort.
Here we go. What you think about?
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to Alzheimer's Speaks. I'm thrilled you're back with us again. Today, we're going to be talking about something pretty dang important. We're going to be talking about adaptive publications and how they provide social, cultural, and spiritual support, which is so badly needed within our dementia community. And it's just such a beautiful thing to see blossom here. We have a couple of different companies that we're going to be speaking with today. We have Nana's Books with us. We have Mirador Magazine. We have the owner of Resense and also the executive director of Songs and Smiles. And you're not going to be disappointed. You're going to learn a lot. And I think you're going to be really uplifted by what you learn as well. I encourage people to go visit alzheimerspeaks.com, check out all of our free resources there, including Dementia Map, which is our global resource directory. Also, another wonderful tool or aid is Twiddle. You can go to four and you will find aids for sundowning that really reduce the stress, both on the individual living with the diagnosis and their care partners. And then Lorenzo's House is having their Youth Summit June 14th and 15th. And you can just go to lorenzoshouse.org for more information on that. So let's go ahead and speak to our panel today. Well, I am so excited to have you all with us today on Alzheimer's Speaks. This is going to be a really wonderful conversation, and I think one that is so needed because people don't know about all the wonderful things that you're doing. So I'm really excited to raise your voices and be able to showcase what each of you are doing to make life with dementia, or just as we age, easier and much more pleasant. So I'm going to start out by having each of you introduce yourselves, your companies, and also give us a tie-in, if you have one, to dementia yourself personally. And Lorette, I'm going to go to you first, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure. Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Lorette Clear. I am the creator of Nana's Books. It is a nostalgic series for people that are in life review, older adults and their communities of care. And I've got 40 books of different, all types of varieties for people to companion books, to share, to visit, to give people that, you know, that vista, particularly if you are in long-term care, you know, and to break down that fourth wall into nature and to just your past, and also for people that are aging in place. So happy to be here. And we've got a lot of great stuff cooking. So want to catch up with everybody.
And can you tell people if you had a personal touch point or dementia that pulled you into this?
Yes. I had worked in geriatrics when I was actually in high school, hadn't thought much about it beyond that, had a number of family members that had walked with dementia, but really most profoundly, my mother-in-law had Lewy body dementia and passed during COVID. So this really, Nana's Books is inspired by Nana Mary, my mother-in-law, who really, really was an avid reader, and she spurred the whole thing because there just wasn't much out there for her. So it gave me that whole, the impetus to do this.
Wonderful. Thank you. Luke, you want to introduce yourself and your company?
Yeah. Thank you for having me on here. My name is Luke Gilligan. I'm the creator of the Resense Register and also Resense. We have a few other engagement activities. But the Resense Register is a dementia-friendly news publication, specifically for individuals living with dementia and their care partners to form a sense of connection. And so we publish twice a week. It is a actual newspaper printed on broadsheet. And right now we have around 23 editions that are available and for these care partners. And we truly enjoy hearing about the connections that are being made through it.
Wonderful. And did you have a personal connection to dementia yourself?
Not familial. My mother is a social worker who focused on geriatrics, so I've been volunteering since I could walk. And then in high school, my first job was in dietary at a local care community. Then I went to respite care, and that is kind of how I got into this space.
Okay, great. Thank you. And Nikki, you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hey, it's so nice to see everybody. It's Nikki from Mirador Magazine, and we publish a online and print dementia-friendly magazine. It's a leisure-oriented magazine, general interest, history, nature, art, those sorts of things. It's designed specifically for people who are experiencing dementia and as a way to co-attend with family and other care partners. So right now we have 13 issues available. And we're working on getting some more out there. We also have an online bookcase that includes audio narration of all of our magazines and other tidbits that people can click in and out of. Mirador was founded because I was looking for general interest reading materials for an aunt who I was caring for, who was diagnosed with young onset at the age of 62, and she lived for 7 years in that journey and passed last July. So this magazine is a direct result of wanting to find adaptive text resources for not only Rebecca, but for other family members.
Great. Thanks, Nikki. And Eric, why don't you tell us your story?
Yeah, good to be with you. My name's Eric Kolb. My wife Cheryl and I started Songs and Smiles as a nonprofit organization back in 2020. It actually started as a birthday party in 2017 for my mother-in-law, Trish. She lived with Alzheimer's. We cared for her for more than 10 years. I've unfortunately had several other family members with Alzheimer's and Lewy body dementia as well, but Trish, we were a primary caregiver for her. I would take her on appointments, and we'd be sitting in doctor's offices trying to read magazines together. And I learned that magazines, modern magazines, were increasingly too confusing for her. And I have a background in the magazine industry. So after we launched Songs and Smiles with music programming, our next major programming was to develop a dementia-friendly magazine, which we called Joyful Memories. And we just published our sixth issue.
Wonderful. Well, I want to dive a little bit deeper into how adaption makes you different and what you looked at. So, Lorette, I'm going to start with you. You had talked about, your mother-in-law being an avid reader and not just being able to read anymore in the fashion she did. Did you see that affect her emotionally?
Oh, definitely. I think it was dispiriting for her. It was something that bookended her day. She loved her newspaper and she also loved large print fiction, and she couldn't partake in those anymore. And it's almost to the point where she kind of, it wasn't even that she was despairing about that. It was in general, she didn't have access to the things that were very elemental, but they were also that ritualistic kind of a thing where she have the kinesthetic, contact with turning the pages. And again, it was something that really was soothing, and that was something that she probably didn't even realize that she leaned into. And we all don't, we go to bed at night and you read for an hour and things like that. So when you're no longer able to do those things, I think that it's jarring for you. And it sometimes when you have a cognitive challenge, you don't even know why. So I think that it was a missing piece for her, and that's why, I really set out to adapt some things that she could, enjoy once again.
Yeah, I remember, my mom lived with dementia for 30 years, and even when she couldn't read, and the only reason we knew she couldn't read, because she was adamant she had to have the paper every single day. And she would sit in her chair and read it, and I'll never forget one day I walked in and she had it upside down. And that was my cue. She really wasn't reading anymore. And I remember asking to see the paper and said there was something on I wanted to see, and then I turned it around and I gave it back to her the right way, as I noticed people were looking at her different because she had the paper upside down. But that was a very important ritual for her, to be able to stay connected and be on top of her world. What types of things, Lorette, did you feel you needed to do in Nana's books to be different and to be able to meet meet her needs.
Well, you know, I know that she liked art because of the way, you know, she lived. And I know that she liked literature. And what I wanted to do was really bring in some old favorites and things that she that were resonant, that were themes that she could enjoy, but really change the format and really dug deep into. I took some coursework in cognitive stimulation therapy and tried to find out all the different parameters. What makes a piece of text adaptive, and how do we lay the page out, and what do we, you know, and I ordered a number of different things on Amazon and took things out of the library, and, you know, it was slim pickings. So I really was trying to create something where it wouldn't be an impediment. The text and the layout wouldn't be an impediment to her reading experience. And I wanted to make it as clean and as simple and as so she could find success in, you know, to replace that frustration. So essentially, that's what I set about to do, and have, you know, the wide galleys, the wide white margins, the hyper legible texts. And even to this day, Laura, you know, because I consult, you know, your expert opinion, to this day, I tweak it to make it better and better and better, because it's in a digital format. And like Nikki said, you know, to have it, you know, voice enabled so that people can partake in it that way. When they're, let's say they're alone, they can do it independently and they can feel that success. It's scaffolding the text and with the auditory cues, the visual cues. So it all works together. And there's so many different ways that we're supporting reading.
Wonderful. Luke, how about you? What did you want to bring to the table that you felt wasn't there?
I mainly was looking specifically in care communities. Our products initially, we mainly target B2B, so care communities and their care partners being nurses, CNAs, and providing an activity that doesn't require like a full-time training, but it still does allow them to engage. And so that's kind of the idea of where we started. And what we wanted to bring was access to that activity of daily living. I think it's similar to what you were just talking about with your mother, is I was not aware, at least the local area around us, of how limited the access is to a daily newspaper. And for this generation, this is something that is like a part of their daily life. It's a part of their routine, and routine is huge for these individuals. And so we wanted to bring something that is that sensory experience of opening up a newspaper each day, but it's more than that. It's also bringing back their dignity and providing them with an opportunity for that. And so what we did is I wanted to keep everything the same that is a classic newspaper. So it is recognizable and it's something that they understand. But our mission with Recents is to bring comfort and joy. And so I don't want anything that could be frustration or frustrating. So we took out ads. We simplified the text. We made it larger, but we kept the same type of content, the idea of columns. So every newspaper has the same themes, whether that is an article about a historical figure or an event in history revisited. And then the classic advice column is something that people love. And so we just wanted to bring joy. And I think by providing them with something that looks exactly like a normal newspaper, it doesn't show that anything's different, and just focusing on them and providing them with that opportunity.
Wonderful. Thank you. Nikki, how about for Medora Magazine?
So, I mean, Lorette and Luke have already brought in some great elements of why adaptive text reading is so important for people experiencing dementia or people just having some visual acuity issues due to aging. And one of the things that we really felt was important to Mirador was to bring in a wide breadth of subjects and generalities. And so all of our magazines are themed, but they also have sort of a general, you know, there are stories about nostalgia and history. There is travel, there is food, there are some activities in there. What we really want to do in the magazine and also just get across is that regardless of where your brain change is at, if you're on a dementia journey or on a scale, is that you are still a curious individual. And that was something my Aunt Rebecca really was in her life, was very curious. She always liked learning new things. She always liked experiencing new things, and she liked sharing what she had learned. And so we like to fill the magazine with interesting articles and things that you might not have learned about out in the community, you know, all kinds of different facts and, you know, figures and things like that. And so I think that's really also an important aspect of dignity, is recognizing that people still can learn. They still want to learn. and they still want to share with their friends, families, and community about the things that they've learned. And so that was one of the big aspects of Mirador 2, was to make it as kind of chock full as possible with information, at the same time being accessible to read. And so like Lorette and like Luke, you know, taking a look at what makes a layout as accessible as possible. So with the larger print, the clean sans serif font, you know, not putting columns throughout the pages. So little things like that we've incorporated as Luke and Eric and Lori have also done so well. So that is one aspect I think that we bring to the table, is that sort of cultural touchstone of just the aspect of continuing to learn and be curious about the world.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-494-8310. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-494-8310. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-494-8310.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
And I would say with yours too is the vibrancy of the colors and the images and stuff that you have really draws the eye through things. Just like with Lorette's has, you know, these pictures that draw you in as well, that take up one whole page. And Luke, you know, with the newspaper being black and white, I mean, each of you has been really consistent and thoughtful of the, you know, original piece and what was important in those. Eric, I want to hear from you too with your songs and smiles with both editions.
As I said, the music informed what we did with the magazine. I've also had, I worked in the magazine industry for 25 years. And so I got some of my former editors and art directors to work through these things with me. We spent about 2 years planning. And like others have said, we have to look at all the technical aspects. You have to look at the color palette you can use and using high contrast colors. And, you know, you can't have a page of yellow type. They won't be able to read it. And so we looked for inspiration. The same way the music, when I sing at memory care homes, I often sing music that were hits in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. We looked for inspiration to magazines that were popular in the 50s and 60s, especially Life and Look and Better Homes and Gardens. And but we also wanted to create a modern aesthetic because we're about connections. We do sing-alongs because they connect people with memories, but also connect people with each other. There's something they can do with family members. So we've tried to create a magazine that someone can read by themselves, but they can also read with a family member. And so we focus, we don't mention anything in our magazine that's newer than the 1970s. And I said the only time you'll see a question mark in our magazine is if it's a riddle on our humor page. Because everything is about trying to make people feel comfortable. And I recognized in the sing-alongs, people would bring magazines with them. Some people who may or may not have been able to read, they certainly couldn't read and enjoy the magazine that they were holding at the time, but they still enjoyed having a magazine in their hands. And so that's why we even put ours on heavier paper. Some people just like to hold it. And like you said, the bright colors, the visual nature of it. So we want to include the people who even can't read all the way up to the people who do still enjoy reading.
I love that. I never would have thought about the question mark at all, but that makes sense to try to keep things, simple. Nikki, it seems like you guys all kind of have this shared goal in mind. Do you see you all working together, you know, as a collaboration or as a movement in this and expanding beyond this group? Or what are your thoughts?
I mean, when I came on the scene, there were next to no resources available for people experiencing dementia or any sort of visual acuity changes in the general field of reading. There weren't any magazines around. There were a couple of chapter books. And so it's really encouraging. I always get so excited when I find a fellow traveler in this way. So learning about Lori's books and Eric, and, you know, now with Luke coming on with his fantastic newspapers and Abbott with her reminisce books, this is a field that can only continue to expand. And it's a necessary tool in the resource kit, I think. There's lots of reasons why reading is so important for our cognitive health, our spiritual health, our cultural health, and making reading adaptive for all different stages of brain change is vital, I believe, to a whole person in the dementia-friendly resource bin, if you will. There's lots of great stuff coming online in the tech world and just, you know, resources for art and music and all these sorts of things. And I feel like reading is one of those that is also kind of coming on, and people are understanding the importance of it in all sorts of fashion. So I am very encouraged by the work that my colleagues are doing. Collaboration, competition is always sort of my touchstone, particularly in this field, because I feel like we're all doing something in this realm, but we're all doing it really differently. And I feel like we're all doing it well. And so I would love to see more people out doing this sort of work. And I'm just encouraged to collaborate with these fine folks and to see what is next in our journey.
Now, you had mentioned Ann Abbott's series that she's doing of books. Do you want to give her a little bit more of a plug?
So Ann Abbott's created these fantastic line of large print books. They're called the Reminisce line of books. And she has, I believe she has at least three out right now, where she's got a Western, a romance series, and a mystery series. And they are short stories. I think they're about 10 pages long each. Large print, beautiful illustrations. And she created these for her mother, who I believe sadly just passed due to her dementia diagnosis. But these books are, again, very intentionally written. They're well written. And they also sort of feel good in the hand. They've got a nice, you know, they're a nicely produced book. And so I believe that you can find them on her Kirkhouse Publishing site, the Reminisce line of books, if you Google that. I know Lori is also familiar with these too, but I do like to shout her out because if you look at, so we've got magazines, newspaper, books, and then also, you know, Anne's books, which are a chapter book, which are different than anything else that this group is doing. So there is a very nice contingent of a nice library there, if you will.
Yeah. Well, and I loved when in talking with Anne, she talked about no more than three characters per story, short, you know, 10, 15 pages a piece. Again, kind of in history for her images and stuff, large print, you know, just everything people are saying, but again, a different angle that still allowed people to read a new story, but not get lost, not get overwhelmed. I would hear that from people all the time. I keep reading the same paragraph over and over, you know, I just keep going right back to it, getting lost in the page. And it's so interesting to see how people step up and step in different ways. Lorette, I wanted to ask you about formatting to be dementia friendly and then, you know, just getting the word out into the public. What's that journey been like for you?
I mean, absolutely great. I feel like, you know, Nikki was talking about collaboration. We really do support one another. I found Luke and, you know, I know he's a busy guy and thought I want to see your stuff. I want to see what you're doing. I want to bring you into this because we need somebody who's doing a newspaper and they're doing it so well. And that, you know, with Anne, again, it's super intentional. It's, you know, it's like people that are doing plot-free TV, let's say. It really is done in a way that is so dignifying, and it's a scaffold for people that they can enter that conversation. And then when Luke was saying about there's no question marks, this, everything that we're doing is very research-based. It's declarative statements to help people and to help them enter the conversation. It's not an inquisition. It's not an interrogation. We're not asking people things that they can no longer answer. We're giving them the opportunity to shine. It's an invitation, Lori. We're really inviting people into this process again, and that they can read and they can share. And, you know, it's not necessarily everything they can do. Let's say they're going to read the whole thing cover to cover themselves. It's something that you can pick up at your leisure, as Nikki was saying, leisure publications, ad-free. All of us are ad-free. That's very important to us, because we feel that this audience, you know, they do not have the autonomy at this point in life to go out and, you know, purchase, let's say, even this book or this magazine, but we're giving them the opportunity to self-select among things that are meaningful to them. We're giving them the visuals and the cueing that they need to participate. And then also topically, we've got all kinds of inclusive material, and we've got things that are, you know, have to do with holidays and, you know, arts and culture and touchstones. And, you know, my books have quite a bit to do with faith and spirituality and really soul tending and getting at that facet of the person, because it's more than just ADLs. It's really about living a quality life, you know, all through your life. And I think together we really offer a nice complement of that. And, you know, you and I and everyone else, you read books, you read magazines, you know, you take in all kinds of different reading, and we're enabling people to do that again. It's not just one thing that you do for an hour and it's in the recreation therapy room or in a community room. This is very organic. It's it's elemental. It's part of your day. We're bringing it back, and it's super gently priced. None of us is, you know, making a fortune here. We're really passionate about this gift of reading and how people can, you know, get back in a very a gentle, very smart, very inclusive way.
Well, and like you mentioned, it's part of their norm, you know, that's been all of their life. One of the things that I find interesting in looking at all of us on screen is we're all about the same age except Luke. And I love that we've got somebody from a younger generation stepping in and seeing this too, because we'll move on or retire or do whatever we're going to do. But it's nice to be able to see that being identified with your age group as well. The other thing that I love with what all you're doing is that, and I don't think people think about this much, but when we read, all of these things are, they're really engagement tools for conversation. They're engagement tools to pass on or to be interactive with both of, you know, both people or a group of people. And I don't think people always look at all of the variety of these things. I mean, how many times have you read a book and you passed it on to someone else? Or you're reading the paper and you share it with somebody else, or a magazine? Those are huge. They might be small touch points, but in a life that sometimes people view as getting smaller, those are huge things. Those are massively, massively huge touch points. And so I think that that's really cool. Eric, you look like you had a couple of things to say.
Oh, you talk about connections. I love that. That is so important. A magazine is something that we're used to sharing. You know, read out loud this little bit. It just warms my heart when I see, I give them away at memory care homes, and a resident starts reading jokes to the person next to them, and they have a good laugh. They share a laugh together. Or I had we've heard from several readers that they say their grandchildren, the elementary school children, are reading it with the grandparents or great grandparents, and that's exactly what we designed it to do. The content is for adults, but a third or fourth grader could read most of it. But there would be a number of words that they don't know, but they could ask grandpa or great grandma, What does this mean? Or what was this like? It's conversation starters. We intentionally fill it with conversation starters. That is very important.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, when you mentioned that, I mean, the smile on your face alone, I mean, is contagious, Eric. But I mean, that's really what this stuff all does to people. It is contagious when we connect on that level, when we bring back the conversation. And I think in the era of life that we're living, where thumbs are going to wear out probably before our eyes too, you know, with texting and our communication has gotten so much different. It's nice to see that interaction and that eye contact and the smiles, and people really relying on our multi-sensory communication styles and skills. It's to me a really, really a monumental feat that you're pulling back in. And as Lorette mentioned, you know, giving that dignity back. And with that dignity comes respect for being part of the community, which sometimes is lost. And we don't even realize, you know, that is happening with so many people. I wanted to just let people know, if they're just tuning in, we are meeting with a lovely group of different companies, all who have adapted publications to make reading more accessible, more engaging. And it's just been absolutely fantastic. In our show notes, we will have all their contact information for a Mirador magazine, for Nana's books, for Resense and their registry newspaper, and other products that they have, and then Songs and Smiles that also has a magazine, and some sing-along books too. And then Ann Obitz, who wasn't able to be here with us with the Reminisce series as well, which is a chapter book. And, you know, these things are life-changing. They make great gifts, but they also, I think, can help out not only communities, but families. If a person is still living at home, if somebody is going to visit, or if someone's living in a community, making it easier to show up and visit, because now you have an engagement tool. And I know when my mom was living in the nursing home, there were so many people that didn't want to come because they didn't know what to do. And these are tools that, you know, products and tools I think every community should have, from, you know, if it's residential, if it's adult day, if it's respite, if it's hospice, all of them should have these types of tools handy, and we should have them handy in our homes. I mean, what a great gift to buy a subscription or a book or a magazine for a friend or family member, or maybe you're going to donate it to the church so it can be placed there, or let a doctor's office know, hey, these really aren't appropriate for everyone who's coming to visit you. You know, you should have something else here too.
And thanks for bringing that up, Lori. Thanks for bringing that up. We all do that. And it's so true. It's another tool in the toolbox, and it's a wonderful thing. And that's why I'm so excited about the variety of products that we're offering. I know that if my magazine doesn't fit for someone, chances are Mirador or Nana's books will.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. Luke, what are some of the comments that you're getting from people reading your magazine? I love one of the photos in the blog and stuff, but you have a bunch of people just holding up that newspaper, reading it, and they've all got these big, huge smiles on their face. And I just love that picture. I just think it's such a great statement to the importance of being able to participate and continue to read.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think similar to kind of what you guys were talking about is that engagement tool. The feedback that we get is more from families. We get that, oh yeah, my mom, I have one individual who every time she gets an edition, I get about a page email, which I love, of here are all of my thoughts. She sends me a picture of the crosswords finished and time sometimes on how long it took. It's very helpful, but the comments that I'm getting is exactly what you guys were just talking about, is, hey, I can use this at breakfast and we can talk about the glass bottles that milk used to be delivered in, or we can take the crosswords and care communities are turning them into trivia games or whiteboard games that they can do as a group. And I think that's the biggest comments I'm getting is that connection, is making the connections. And for me, it's mainly through generations, is I recommend taking this and ask for young kids to ask, like, grandma, what was this like? Or tell me more about this. And by recognizing the pictures and the images, we can learn a lot about an individual. And that's the main comments that we're getting from family members, are just how, just reminiscing with that one photo opened up a conversation that they didn't even know about. One family member, just a quick story, found out that their loved one was a farmer because he used to rip the newspaper every time he got it. And they turned out that that used to be done when milking cows, they would just rip the newspaper. So that was the muscle memory for him. And they learned about that through the paper. And so it's just, it is a connection builder. All of our publications are. And that's what really brings me joy, is seeing that, hey, at least we can start conversations and write that history book for those family members.
I'm wondering if any of you have reached out to, like, Haley Richman, who, you know, is, I think she's in, she might be in high school now, but, you know, she has a couple of nonprofits, and she is connecting kids with different communities to go in and really engage their senior population or people with dementia. And she, you know, does, they do puzzles and different things. Or Lorenzo's House, you know, that is very youth focused, or even Hilarity for Charity. It seems like there's more people at a younger age getting involved that want to help. Have any of you reached out to any of these organizations and said, hey, you know, have you ever thought about tapping into this as a tool for your engagement?
I personally have. I've been working with Dementia Friendly PA and Dementia Friends nationwide, just as I think I kind of, we talked about, I'm looked at as more of the younger generation. And I get asked a lot about, is like, what got me engaged? And I look back on how my mom, ever since I could walk, got me engaged no matter what, and just taught me to love all these individuals. And I think replicating that for younger generations is important. And we have reached out to Hilarity for Charity and other organizations just to see, like, how can we do this? And our products, we donated a lot of it to charities like this, just to bring that engagement tool. Because I do think it is, especially with our activity kits, is just handing them something that they can walk into the room. It just bridges that gap between the generations. And that's the push that they need, instead of sitting there not being able to know what to say because they don't want to offend or they don't understand. And it is amazing to see these charities bring that awareness to light. And just, I love seeing, especially with Dementia Friends, the pictures of the classrooms that learned about dementia and are just more aware of it. It's amazing.
Or even like the Dementia Friendly Library movement, you know, that started here in Minnesota, and sad to say, they don't really foster that here anymore, which just breaks my heart because it was such a brilliant program that's actually gone international now. But what type of response, if you've reached out, have you gotten? Lorette, I'm going to go to you next.
We're actually working on that. We are ourselves forming. We want to create a room of one's own, which is, you know, a fully resourced reading room. So where there are people in care or in home settings, let's say you enjoy gardening. So there are programs that people will go to the greenhouse, or people may do bocce, or they may do bingo, or they have these arts and crafts activities, or musical entertainment will come in. We'd like to have a passive, you know, available, unlocked, you know, just fully stocked reading room where people can access, you know, just the beautifully merchandised, let's say, magazines and books and newspapers, almost like you'd see in, you know, almost like a gentleman's club or a library or a, you know, a senior center, or a garden club, the Women's Garden Club, or any of these kinds of things where you can access these materials at really any time of day. And you can, they're a hub that you can sit down and rest and relax with someone. And you kind of have this, as Nikki said before, you know, this opportunity to co-attend and to, you know, bring up something. Cause it's like people used to connect when they were, let's say, raising their families over recipes or things like that, you know, across the backyard fence of, you know, just about the different things that were going on in the day to day, or kids' soccer practices and things like that. to make those connections at this age and stage is so much harder because you don't have those little bits of identity that are around you, you know, a trophy or a framed photo or all the different things that really cue you into those things. And, you know, these books and newspapers and magazines do that really beautifully. And to have those things on hand, you know, with staffing shortages and, you know, these wonderful volunteers coming in, you know, Al's Buddies and Sweet Readers and these organizations, it's great to have something that you can connect around and have that, you know, whether it's the haiku in my books or, you know, some of the cultural arts things that, you know, Nikki's got going on that has to do with, you know, nautical topics or topics that have to do with maple sugaring or, you know, all the different things we do. And Eric's mm-hmm. got things that are really reminiscent of, you know, the past and, you know, the actual handling of the newspaper. I think there's a hook here for everyone that loves to read, that loves to visit with one another and just kind of sit heavy and have that moment and, you know, have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea at a certain time of day in these resource reading rooms. And it's so low tech, it's no tech. And it's really just a nice way to wrap up an afternoon. And I think it's just such a nice thing to provide for people. So that's something that we're working on and we're taking very seriously, getting these reading rooms together.
Well, I love that. Are you looking at doing, this is something that sounds like people can go in individually, but are you looking at any like book club type things as well?
Absolutely. I mean, we're looking for, I mean, I know that for, you know, with the memory cafes, they've gone online, you know, a lot of them have gone virtual due to the pandemic and those concerns and people were, you know, spread apart. But, you know, there are memory cafes that are, you know, happening in person as well. Or let's say like my mother-in-law, she was in a Sunrise or whatever your community was. Let's say they're still alive, or let's say even after they passed, to give the family the opportunity in memoriam to say, hey, here's a library in memory of Nana Mary. She was a reader, or in memory of Rebecca, who was a big reader, or, you know, it's something that is so tangible. It's so, it's such a small ask. It's not, you know, like I said, it's not embedded in a larger entity or program. It's just something you can do as much or as little, you know, as far as, you know, the price point as you want, buy the whole collection or, you know, some portion thereof. It's just such a lovely thing to be able to get together with a group and say, you know what, we're going to put together, you know, the funds to put one of these in our senior center. This is meaningful in our community and it's something that we can do right away.
Exactly. Nikki, any additional thoughts on that?
Well, you had mentioned dementia-friendly libraries, and I know that I am seeing that a little bit more across the board, and I'm really encouraged by this, by people recognizing that having community resources available for all of their community is really important. So having reading materials that can be accessible by all members of the neighborhood is a great place that people can, you know, great place to start. And so, yeah, so what Lorette's talking about is like being able to go to those library systems or those senior centers and say, hey, we have this group of materials available, and it can almost be like, here you go. And here's a nice start with a wide variety of selection for you. Because I think that is, you know, that is the key. Like nobody who is a reader just reads one magazine. You know, they don't just like, you know, pick out their thing from the shelf and that's it. They don't want to read anything else. They're typically readers of books and magazines and, you know, newspapers. Like they like to have a variety of things available, and they don't just want one issue of something. Like people tend to like, if they like one type of magazine, they're going to want to see what the next one brings. And so think like this sort of, you know, Lorette says self-selecting, being able to go to a, you know, a room or a nook or an area in your community, if you're living in, you know, long-term residential care, that is specifically set up for this sort of quiet time, which I think is also really important. I know that, you know, sometimes in assisted living and memory care units, these, you know, the television is on frequently, it can get loud, it can get very distracting. And having a place where people can go and just sit with their cup of coffee or their glass of sparkling water, whatever it is that they want, and just have a moment to themselves with something that is, you know, low tech, very analog, and just enjoy that or sit with a friend. So having an area where people can go and self-select their book, you know, maybe it's their Nana's books or the Reminisce, or pick up one of Luke's newspapers or Eric's Joyful Memories magazines or mine, you know, just having that ability to choose from a variety of objects is something that we all enjoy. Nobody paints with just the blue. You know, you want to have lots of different things available. And this also, I think, is very important in the accessible reading realm. And so yes, for dementia friendly libraries, resource centers, all of that, but also within long-term care as well, is having, you know, this sort of wide selection available for folks.
Well, and I like that you mentioned having that quiet space, you know, because you need to be able to concentrate too to read. I mean, Luke, maybe not you. I know my grandkids have, you know, the TV on, the music going, the, you know, they're sitting in the dark and they're still reading just fine, you know, but for me, not so much, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I also think it's important for people to get a second with their own thoughts, you know, and I think sometimes, you know, particularly in resource communities, we like to keep people super active and always doing stuff. And there's reasons for that for sure. But also just giving people the opportunity to just sit and learn and be quiet, I think is also important. It was important for Rebecca. And I know that we have readers in our Mirador community whose family members like to set them with their breakfast or their coffee and their reading materials. And it's just sort of a nice, you know, a nice time. We all need that in our day. All of us do. So whether it's reading or writing or, you know, sketching or whatever it is, I think being able to have a place for that is important.
Exactly. Eric, you look like you had some thoughts.
Well, there's such great potential here, because when we hand someone a publication, there are no instructions required. You can hand someone a magazine or a book or a newspaper. They know exactly what to do with it. So it's an easy tool. And there's potential. We have a couple public libraries that already get our magazine. And that's not something I've marketed to yet. It's something we probably all need to do to get actually into the communities. And I'm working with dementia-friendly Denton County and Fort Worth here in the Metroplex and trying to get into the communities. But it is getting the word out still. I have a website and social media background, and I, you know, run all the analytics. The fact is, people aren't on Google searching for dementia-friendly magazines because they don't know that such a thing exists. And so we're still educating them. I appreciate you talking to us today. You're educating people today that these opportunities exist. And I think it's new. It's a groundswell. It's building momentum. And so I'm very hopeful that more and more people will understand the value of this tool and add it to the toolbox.
Or a lot of the libraries are starting to launch memory cafes as well, which is a perfect tie-in, as well as letting them know about this dementia-friendly movement within the libraries, because there's a lot of money to be had, you know, grants that they can apply for their libraries. I know in Minnesota, we had one that got like $90,000 and they did like 11 libraries and set them up. And, you know, they have the packets that people can take for 2 weeks, or you can go in and just, you know, maneuver kind of that area that they've designated, because you don't know, do you go to self-help, do you go to the medical portion, I mean, where do you go? And right. Really what all you guys are doing is a form of entertainment news, really, in on a lot of levels. And so where the heck do you go for that then, you know? And that's very sporadic in a library. And so it's helpful, and it's not, I think all of what you're doing is dementia specific, but it's much broader than that. It's for the aging eyes, you know, as we get older, just simplifying things. I mean, can be used for stroke victims. I mean, you could go on and on and on with who this would help. So it's very, very neat. And I love the kind of the low-tech, lo-fi arena that you're in. You know, you're back to that tactile tactile touch and feel and even smell of the print sometimes, you know, that you get, and being able to hold it and put it down and see where it is versus, you know, on our phones, or computers, it gets filed away and it's like, where'd it go? You know, where'd I file it to type thing, you know? And so it's a very different experience to be able to continue on with something that's been the norm for so long, for so many. Gosh, I can't believe our hour is just flying away here. If you had a magic wand, Luke, what would you want to happen in the next 5 years?
I think it's pretty much exactly what we just talked about, is bringing awareness to that accessibility conversation and saying, hey, bookstores should have these and places of like communal activity. I think that's the biggest thing, is working with these care communities. A lot of the times I do get asked of like, hey, are you in like a CVS? Because we take our residents there on their shopping trips and that type of thing. And it's just that idea of having the community come together and provide opportunities for normal daily life that they can have, but they could still have access to things that could increase their engagement and things that they would be able to enjoy themselves. So in 5 years, that's kind of my idea, is I think every care community should have a room of their own, kind of what you guys are talking about, but also Barnes & Noble, bookstores, things like that as well, just bringing that awareness to accessibility on all fronts. Kind of like you said, individuals with intellectual disabilities could use these, enjoy these. It's a wide range of accessibility.
Wonderful. And I would encourage you, Luke, just on Dementia Map, to update your profile to talk about the registry. You have the recents boxes in kits that you have, which are wonderful, but that would be a nice addition to for people to be able to see on that. How about you, Eric? What would you like to see happen in the next 5 years?
I would second that, that just to let people, that people know about it, that it becomes a norm in our society. And I will just also confirm what you said. These magazines, these publications that we're doing, they are benefiting people not living with dementia. That wasn't maybe our initial intention, but we hear from caregivers all the time, I love to read. I'm so stressed lately. I can't sit down and read a book, or I don't have time to read a book. So I love reading the magazine. Or we hear that, oh, turns out, I like to say anyone my age and older enjoys reading it. And who wouldn't enjoy reading a magazine these days that doesn't have any ads? You know, so just that alone, and that with bigger type and different things like that. So yeah, my personal wish is that we would get the funding and support, because this is not a moneymaker, we're a nonprofit, that we would get the funding to 5 years from now, I'd like to have we have 42 issues planned out. We just need the money to produce all those. So that's my big wish.
Wonderful. And Lorette, if you had a magic wand, what would you like to see happen in the next 5?
Oh, I have so many ideas of what we could be doing and that we'd like to do. I think that, you know, in the UK, the social prescribing movement is coming on very strong. And, you know, we're finding that, you know, when people get a dementia diagnosis in the UK, you get 14 1-hour consecutive week visits with a link worker. And a lot of it has to do with making sure, you know, there's wayfinding in your home and everything is safe, but a lot of it has to do with visiting. And then there are very limited materials at this moment for these types of connected visits. So I'd like to see these types of materials be at hand for when social prescribing arrives in the US. You know, I'd like to see these types of wonderful, generative, joyful materials at the ready for people. And I think right now the concept in libraries for people has to do with, as I said, wayfinding kits that you can take home. And there are loads of books for the caregiver. However, I think that the hub of the community, and this is such a lonely business when you're at home living with a dementia diagnosis and you're a dementia, you know, a caregiver for, you know, dementias in your family, to have a hub or a room of one's own to be able to go to in the community and to make these connections with other care partners, with people that are also that are, you know, living with brain change, and to give them these opportunities. I think that it's such a simple fix. And again, I do think that the money stands in the way, but the good news is that this is all, you know, really right, ready. It's ready to go. And that, as I said, it is gently priced, and it's something that we can, it's tangible, and we can do this in the near term. So that's, you know, my bucket list truly. And, you know, I just love to see, you know, in 5 years, if we were having this conversation, more people like us doing these things, and even more, you know, really dynamite content, you know, and just to really grow it for people, because it is really elemental. It's not a perk or a nice to have. This is life giving for people, and it's truly person-centered care. It's not just about, you know, getting the person from, you know, morning till night. This is quality and connection and joy and beauty and nice vistas. And, you know, it's transformational. It's transportive. And don't we all need it?
Well, for sure. For sure. You know, Eric, one question I wanted to ask with your sing-alongs is that, are those sing-along books like activity directors do, or do you have audios that can be downloaded?
Both. We do it. We have a lot of free videos of me singing on YouTube and Vimeo, and then we sell some for if someone wants to lead their own. We also have a growing network of volunteers and potential employees, and we're just bringing on Chicago and Seattle soon, so leading sing-alongs. And I've led about 800 or so myself in person in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. You know, we have another volunteer in the Dallas-Fort Worth area who does 8 shows a month. He's 87 years old and doing 8 shows a month. So, in fact, as soon as I get off this call, I'm going to walk into the next room and lead a sing-along.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Nikki, in wrapping up, what would you like to see in the next 5 years?
Well, I think that, you know, a lot of people have mentioned just the resources expanding. And of course, that's what we want here for Mirador as well, to expand our catalog, but also, to, you know, to see more funding available for these types of projects throughout, including one of the things that we really want to expand with Mirador is as a bilingual, trilingual, as many languages as we could possibly get into print. That would be great. We do have you know, about half of our collection available online in Spanish. And we've gotten some emails about, are these available in print? And unfortunately, at the moment, they're not, but we'd really like that to be the case. In 5 years, we'd like to see our entire collection continuously printed both in English and in Spanish, and looking at other languages as well. Because as we know, that community, particularly the Spanish community, is one of the fastest rising communities of people experiencing dementia right now. And so we would like to see these adaptive text resources available for our Spanish speakers as well, including other languages also. So that would be one magic wand thing I would love to see happen, is to have some funding to be able to put that into place. But also, as Eric and others have said, normalizing this type of resource and making it just more widely available in lots of different community settings.
Well, and I hope that, you know, the CMS Dementia Guide, you know, taps into what you guys are doing. To me, it sounded like that's what the funding was for, though that's not what I'm necessarily seeing it turn into, or the hospitals and clinics to tap into what already exists and get into the homes and lives of those who need the help through existing programs. Well, this has just been wonderful. I'm so thrilled you guys took the time to be with us today. So I can't thank you enough for sharing and just being strong enough to pursue what each of you is doing, because it's such a huge contribution to the world and to help people live a better life. So hopefully all of our listeners will step into what I call being a giver of hope, and like, click, and share this episode on your social media platforms. There's people out there that you know that you might not even know need this information because they haven't talked about it yet. And we have to make it a comfortable conversation. And the more we can get information like this out there, the easier it is for people to step up and grab it. The easier it is for libraries and clinics and communities to realize, wow, I didn't know this was here. You know, none of us has all the answers. So that's what I love about the collaboration that you're doing, you know, with your little coalition here is expanding. Instead of being afraid of your competition, you're embracing each other and raising one another up and knowing there's plenty of people that need to be served and that everybody deserves a variety as well. So again, in our show notes, you'll be able to get all of their websites, from Mendora Magazine to Nana's Books to the Resense Registry and their kits as well, and then Songs and Smiles. And we'll also post the Reminisce book line with Ann Obitz, who was not able to make it today. So thanks, everybody. Appreciate your time today. And one last plug, I guess, for Alzheimer's Speaks is check out all of our free educational resources. And don't forget to check out Dementia Map, our global resource directory as well. Bye now. Have a wonderful week.
I also want to introduce you all to QBlocks. They have been absolutely excellent to deal with. They have been in business for 18 years and they serve the globe. I can't say enough good things about this company. I've had a lot of bad experiences. I don't know about you with tech companies. They have made a very complicated process very easy. And their staff is so kind, so polite, so respectful to work with. And, you know, when I am frustrated and ready to pull my hair out, they just smile and tell me everything's going to be okay. And they really are just on top of the communication, which alleviates so much stress as an owner when you're dealing with tech issues. You can get a 10% discount. Visit them at QBlocks, that's QBlocks.com, or you can email them at letstalk@qblocks.com. For that 10% discount, just put Lori, L-O-R-I, in the inquiry form. And again, I don't think you'll be disappointed. I surely haven't been. I can't rave enough about this company. And that's kind of rare these days.
It's time to rethink, renew, and reimagine retirement. Hey everybody, Jared Sylvester here, host of Retire Repurposed. Now, this podcast is about the non-financial parts of retirement, which many times can be even more challenging than the financial. We believe retirement is not the end, rather the beginning of what could be the most impactful, purposeful, and fulfilling season of a person's life. So don't retire, become repurposed. To listen now, search Retire Repurposed on your favorite podcast platform, Senior Resource, or Life Audio.